Gracious God, we rejoice in your presence. Blessed are the poor in spirit. Open our hearts to the realization that we have fallen from your image and are helpless without you. Blessed are they which do hunger and thirst for righteousness. Fill us with your Holy Spirit, that we may be holy as you are holy. Blessed are the merciful. Remind us to be humble, that we may not think too highly of ourselves, but act in ways pleasing to you. You made us the light of the world. Help us to determine good works that glorify you, that others may see your glory. We remember the teachings of Jesus. Now, let us pray the words he taught the disciples to pray. Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done, on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our trespasses, as we forgive those who trespass against us. Lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom, and the power, and the glory forever. Amen.
Today's scripture lesson comes from Philippians 4, verses 4 through 13. Rejoice in the Lord always. I will say it again, rejoice. Let your gentleness be evident to all. The Lord is near. Do not be anxious about anything, but in everything, by prayer and petition, with thanksgiving, present your requests to God. And the peace of God, which transcends all understanding, will guard your hearts and your minds in Christ Jesus. Finally, brothers, whatever is true, whatever is noble, whatever is right, whatever is pure, whatever is lovely, whatever is admirable, if anything is excellent or praiseworthy, think about such things. Whatever you have learned or received or heard from me or seen in me, put it into practice, and the God of peace will be with you. I rejoice greatly in the Lord that at last you have renewed your concern for me. Indeed, you have been concerned, but you had no opportunity to show it. I am not saying this because I am in need, for I have learned to be content whatever the circumstances. I know what it is to be in need, and I know what it is to have plenty. I have learned the secret of being content in any and every situation. Whether well-fed or hungry, whether living in plenty or in want, I can do everything through him who gives me strength. This is the word of God for the people of God. Thanks be to God.
So a couple weeks, it was just a week ago actually, that Pastor Sherry asked me to bring some of my students from my Reaching Higher class to speak here at the church. And we did that. And the next morning on my way to work, I get a phone call, and it's Pastor Sherry. And she says, Susie, will you speak at church? And I said, well, what do you want me to talk about? And she says, I want you to tell your story. So I said, of course I will, you know, and I was humbled. I was, like, honored to think that she would want me to tell my story. And you know, I wish she was here today because this is the first time I've been early for church. She wouldn't be so happy to see me here today. So I'm humbled by the opportunity. I'm grateful to be with you. I hope that you can take a part of my story with you today and that it will bless you. That's my prayer, that it would bless you and that it would strengthen you in your life as God has strengthened me on my journey. So I'm going to start out in 2013. So just a couple years ago, we moved into a new office space right here next door. My office is right next door here. And I was sitting in my office, and I thought, wow, this is a miracle. 17 years since I started my ministry, and wow, I'm in an office space. It has windows, and it has air conditioning. And oh my gosh, what a blessing. And Corrigans have been a blessing to me. Bonnie, you guys have been a blessing to me all along my journey with my ministry. I always dreamed of having more employees besides myself. And I looked, and we had, Corrigan's not only gave us office space for a very reasonable price, But they built out all the cubicles for all of my employees. They also built out our whole workroom, and they gave me a big conference table and my desk. They gave me a desk. So I'm sitting at my desk. I want you to picture this. I'm sitting at my desk, and I look up at the wall, and there's a picture of Jesus. He's feeding the children. And that's what I always prayed my ministry would do, and that would be to feed the children. And then I looked at my family, and my grandkids were growing up. My husband and I have been married 47 years, and I think, wow, it's only through the grace of God. It's only through the grace of God that I sit here today in this space. So blessed. So let me tell you my story today. I don't usually have the opportunity. I'm usually talking to kids. I don't usually have the opportunity to talk about myself. So I'm just going to be authentic and be humble and share my story. So this is my scripture that I always carry with me all the time. It's, I can do all things through Christ who strengthens me, because I thought, you know what? I might not feel like I'm good enough, but I know I'm God enough. So I was a humble school teacher teaching second grade for 25 years in the Walled Lake school system, and I loved every single minute of it. I want you to know there wasn't a day that I was in my classroom that I didn't feel blessed by being with those kids. But the wisdom and the blessing that they were to me is unbelievable. This is a picture of me, if you can recognize me. It's a lot younger ago. And I had a reading contest in my second graders, and anybody that won the reading contest, they got to come over to my house. We made pizza together, and we had dinner together. So this is a picture of them. I wonder where they are now. So we had a great time. You know what? I remember in my second grade, one year, I decided I wasn't going to worry about how smart they were. I was going to just love them. So every morning in my prayer time, I would write love on my hand. And you know what? That year was the best year of my life. And I became teacher of the year that year. So I was on my way to teach second grade, and I was 32 years old. And I was driving to school the same way I drive every day, on the same road, at the same time, and a semi-truck pulled right out in front of my car. And I didn't have my seatbelt on. Back in those days, you didn't have to really wear your seatbelt, so I didn't have my seatbelt on. And my head hit the rearview mirror, and I shot through the windshield of my car. I had 500 stitches from here to here, and all I remember was going up a long, dark tunnel, and I felt a hand push me back down. I knew it was the hand of God that pushed me back down. And I was in a coma for 9 hours, and they told me when I woke up that I was severely brain damaged. So that's what I believed. I believed I was severely brain damaged. I was never a confident kid. I was the kind of kid that studied and got a C. But you know what? It wasn't the scars that were so hard for me in the way I looked. It was what happened afterwards. I took a month off of school. I went back to teach my second graders. And I realized that first day that I was back, one of my second graders asked me how to spell the word because. And I didn't even know how. I leaned down to tie one of my second graders' shoes, and my hands fumbled because I realized I had forgotten how to tie. I lived in a world of doubt and fear because I was afraid that someone was going to find out how dumb I was. So it was a couple years later that a friend of mine had taken the Dale Carnegie course. And you know what? I thought, you know what? I'll try that. So I went into the Dale Carnegie course, and my instructor, Laura Field, at that time, believed in me. She started to give me a glimpse of hope. It was a public speaking course. One thing I was really good at is talking. I could talk, you know, so it was a public speaking course, but little by little, what happened inside of me is I started to have hope. I started to have hope that I could do something greater. I remember a night they were doing... I was driving home one night after my Dale Carnegie course, and I could hear a little voice inside my heart. And it said, that I should become a Dale Carnegie instructor. And I thought, me? Are you kidding, God? I have brain damage. How am I going to remember all those things? I'm not going to be able to do that. And you know what? I was so ashamed that I would even have the inkling to do something like that, that I never told anybody for 6 months. But I found out that they were having a seminar for people that wanted to become Dale Carnegie instructors. So I thought, you know, I'm going to go. I'm just going to go and see what it's like. So I went there that night, and through the grace of God, I ran into one of my second graders. One of my second graders was becoming a Dale Carnegie instructor. Who knew? You know what? I walked out of there thinking, if she can do it, I can do it. You know? So I walked out. You know what? I was determined. I was passionate about the way my life had been changed. You know, they say, if you can find something in your life that you can die, that you would die for, then you can live for it. And that's how I felt. I was so passionate about helping other people to have hope and bringing hope to other people that I put all the principles. The first thing in the Dale Carnegie instructor, there were 60 people trying out for it, and there were 6 spaces. And I thought, you know what? The first thing was a memory contest. Well, what a struggle that was for me with thinking I was brain damaged. So I thought, you know what? I put the principles on cards. I put them on earphones. I listened to them every single minute. When I wasn't cooking dinner or when I wasn't with the kids, I was studying those principles. The first, the memory contest, you had to say them backwards and forwards. You know what? I came in second in that memory contest. I learned that, you know what? It doesn't matter how long it takes me. If I spend enough time, I can do things. I might have to do them longer than other people, but I can do it. So I became a Dale Carnegie instructor. That was a miracle. So I taught second grade during the day, and I taught Dale Carnegie at night. And I did that for 15 years. And it was a real blessing to me. When I was teaching my second grade class, I could feel something start to pull me out. And I realized that God had something else for me, and I didn't know what it was. So I decided to take just a year sabbatical away from my second graders to see what God had for me. And at that time, I was doing some public speaking, and I went into ministry, actually, in Detroit, in the inner city. I was always one of these people that wanted to save the world, you know? And so, you know, I went into this inner city ministry, and it was in the middle of that year, I had decided that I was going to be still and know that I am God. So I decided to sit quietly for 2 hours a day. And little by little, I could feel like I saw a hole in the universe. I saw the body and mind, but nothing to lift the spirit of our children in our school systems. And so I had a class that summer in my neighborhood for the Dale Carnegie course, and I had over 40 parents call me that wanted help for their kids, but couldn't afford it. So I realized there was a need. And I realized that every child deserved to feel good about themselves. So after I finished that class, I went away to be quiet in the upstate New York. I went to spend some time with my meditation teacher. And one afternoon, when we were sitting on the beach, I laid back, and I saw a hand reach up to heaven, and it said, higher. Reaching higher, bring God's love to the children. And that was the moment my life changed. That was the moment I knew that God had a calling on my life. I had no clue what it looked like. But actually, my husband, who is my angel, he ended up in our Christmas cards putting an invitation to my birthday that was in July, and on my 50th birthday in July, we raised $3,000. Instead of people bringing gifts, they brought a donation to start reaching higher. And we raised $3,000, and that was the beginning. It was the most amazing party. It was like that moment in your life that takes your breath away, you know? Because all my friends were there, all my family was there, and he even had the Good Humor truck there. The Good Humor truck was there, and everybody got to pick out a popsicle or whatever they wanted to have. It was the most amazing time. And you know what? It was the beginning of reaching higher. This is my dear friend, Linda Hannaford, who I met in my Dale Carnegie course. And her and I, she was a Brighton High School teacher. She was a coach. She was a brilliant teacher. And she was also an amazing writer. So the two of us got together. I thought when we were going to do Reaching Higher that we would have to write it all at once. But no, little by little, we would get together and we would just brainstorm what we thought would empower and support people. And actually, my dear friend Marilyn and Bill are here. We were in Marilyn's living room, and we said, this course, how, you know what? We were sitting there, and I said, and we decided it was going to be 8 weeks long, and we decided the titles. We were putting together everything we could to lift the spirits of children and help to empower them to be the best that they could be. We did our very first class in the inner city of Detroit. So this is a picture, and actually I'm going to show you here if I can do the little pointer thing. This boy, Orlando, he was in sixth grade. It was right off of Jefferson Avenue. And I remember one day kneeling down next to Orlando in the class, and he quoted scripture to me. I thought, this boy is like the most amazing young boy. He ended up being a mentor in our class, and now, today, he's on our board. So, and he's actually in ministry in Detroit, too, helping other kids. So I prayed momently with this, because Linda came to me. She was my dearest friend, and we started out teaching adults. We did 350 adults, but she had a cancer that was in her mouth, and she got to the place where she couldn't speak anymore, and she wasn't able to teach anymore, and we weren't making any money, and it was tough. And she said to me, Susie, I'm gonna have to quit. And I thought, what? What do you mean? She says, you know, I can't do this anymore. And she said, you need to quit too. I said, I'm gonna pray about it. So that night, I went up next to my bed because I was devastated. I thought, how am I gonna go on? And I sat next to my bed and I picked up a book. It was Norman Vincent Peale's book, The Power of Positive Thinking. And I just opened it. You know how you randomly open a book and God just gives you exactly what you need? You know, I opened it up, and it was a story about a man that had lost his partner. And I know, go figure, right? And so what? And so he made God his partner. So I decided in that moment that I would make God my partner. And right after that, I went on the Emmaus walk. I don't know if you've ever heard it, the walk to Emmaus. It's about your relationship with Christ. So I went on the Emmaus walk, and one thing they do is they have you come up to the altar, and you lay down whatever you want to lay down, and you pick up whatever you want to pick up. Well, I laid down Reaching Higher, and I said, it will never be a burden. And I picked it up, and I said, you know what? It will always be a blessing. So I picked it up, and that weekend, after I came back and I was at my office, the very first phone call I got was a call from Illich Charity for Children, and they donated 100 tickets to my inner city kids for the Christmas Spectacular. So again, God's hand was with me. This is a picture of one of my daughter, Jennifer, and her two children, Sydney and Max. Jen was a designer at Gap in New York. She had her dream. And also my very dearest and my best friend. It's a blessing when you can have your kids be your best friend. You know, once a year, I make applesauce. And I was home making applesauce with my good friend, and I get a phone call. It's like a moment that changes your life forever. And she said, Mom, I have cancer. I said, Jim, what do you mean? She had just gone in for a 6-month checkup after having my little granddaughter, Sydney. She goes, Mom, I have a rare cancer. It's like 1 in 15 million people. It's called urothelial carcinoma. It's in your belly button. I said, what? It was like so devastating. We immediately flew to New York. She had an operation. It was only the size of a walnut. We had caught it early. There was hope. Jen had 3 years in remission until it came back in her lung, and then went to her brain. I gotta tell you, there's a lot of things that can break in your life, but I was like devastated because my family and my kids were everything to me. And I thought, how, I was like in a dream that you don't even know how you got there. You know, sometimes God has a different plan than we have. I remember one day, my husband and I, we were in Columbia Presbyterian Hospital in the basement of the hospital. And we're wheeling Jenny down to do her radiation treatment. And on the wall, we see a picture of a boat. It's a boat in Maine, and that's where we always vacationed with our family. On the back of the boat, it said Jenny D. Jenny Dahlman. After Jen's radiation treatment, we were wheeling her back, and we stopped at the picture, and my husband said, Jen, it's got your name on the back of the boat. It says Jenny D. And she said, Dad, I forgot my name. I forgot who I was. We knew in that moment, as much as we didn't want to be there, it's where God wanted us to be. As imperfect as it was perfect. We slept every night next to Jen's bed. My dear friend Marilyn and Bill came many times. Marilyn slept with me on the floor next to her bed. When we weren't sleeping next to her and in the hospital room, we were helping with Sydney and Max. In 2004, Jenny passed away. Been almost 10 years ago now. And right after Jenny passed, my dear husband Denny, because of the grief, had a heart attack. And right after his heart attack, my daughter Kim got divorced. So, you know, as a mother, you try to hold your family together, right? My life was like a coffee cup. It was like so broken. I thought, what can I do? And it was moment by moment. I remember when I was in the hospital, the signs that God gave me, the way that he was present there with me in the hard times. Because every day I'd find a little penny. And when my friend Marilyn was with me, I said, Marilyn, what do you think the penny means? She goes, Susie, it means in God we trust. There would be a penny under the bed. There would be a penny in the bathroom. And I remember riding home when we took Jenny home in the ambulance with her as I went across the threshold into her home and she was on the stretcher. There was a penny on the threshold going into her home. So God is there. He's with us every step of the way. So this is my other daughter, Kim, Jenny's best friend. And before Jenny died, and she was getting her chemo treatment, she would drop the kids off at their preschool, and then she'd go to a little Starbucks in her little town of Yorktown Heights. And she called me one day, and she said, Mom, I'm writing a book. I said, Jen, you're kidding. You're writing a book? What do you mean? You've never written anything in your life before. She goes, Mom, I'm writing a book. She said, I can do this now. I said, great, Jen. I said, what's it called? She said, Butterfly Hill. Jenny put her pen to pencil, her pen to paper, in that little coffee shop in Yorktown Heights, and she became an author. It was just 2 years ago that Denny and I moved into a new home, and the one thing that we had not done that we had promised Jenny we would do is to try to get her book published. And my husband, Denny, took the book. He talked to an author, Carl Sams, in Milford here. And I have to tell you, it's only through grace that I felt like Jenny was up in heaven orchestrating it, and so was God down here, because the serendipitous and amazing things that have happened along the way are amazing. But Jenny's book, Butterfly Hill, was published this year. And all we had was a couple notes that Jenny had written down. And Kim, my daughter, and my husband worked really hard and really diligently to bring it to life this last year. Jenny would be so happy. Who would know? Who would know that those little sheets that she had written would become a book? And I know that every time, you know, I wanted to also tell you that it won the Mother's Choice Award this year. If there's one thing that Jenny wanted more than anything was to be a great mother, and she was a great mother. So every time we hear a story about a mother or a grandmother reading this book to her kids, it's about overcoming fears. It's about kids having those little butterflies in their tummies and being able to overcome and do what they're meant to do. So it blesses us to know that. So 2015, this is where I am now. This is our picture. Once a year, we all go to Maine together. We still all go to Maine together. My daughter, Kim, and my son-in-law, Robert, my daughter's remarried. She has an amazing son. So I just want you to know how God's favor has been on my life. I've had a lot of trials, but I've had a lot of blessings, too. I've been married to my husband 47 years. You know, we've come through a lot together, and it's just a blessing. My daughter's totally happy with my new son-in-law, and there are my two grandkids, Sydney and Max. Sydney's 13 now, and Max is 15. Max just emailed me last night this video he made online. You know, and you know, Sydney texts me all the time. They're the love of my life. Every week I send them a card, and every week I call them. I'll call them this afternoon when I'm done with this. So I'm blessed. And reaching higher, I'm still in the same office space 2 years later, but we've touched the lives of over 5,000 children, bringing hope to kids that often don't have hope. Our tagline is the power of hope and the skills to cope. So I wasn't really sure how I was going to end the talk today and how I was going to end my story, but I was going through some things and pictures, and my dear friend Kathy Labash had given me this prayer when my daughter Jenny had passed away. And I thought, yep, this is what I'm supposed to read today. So it says, one day at a time, just when I think I'm where I should be, along comes change drifting over me. I'm overwhelmed. To God I say, he says, don't look at today. Just don't look at tomorrow. Just live for today. One day at a time is all you can do. And if that's too much, just take 1 minute or two. But why does this happen just to me? He says, step back and trust and see. Trust in the process. Have faith and let go. Let me do the work and then just know. It will get better each day from here in, because I'm in control. So just go within. So I hope that my journey will bless you on your journey, and that you will feel God's love and you will feel God's hand on you. You know, I was so blessed because I got rebaptized right before all this happened. Who would know? Thank you.